Good morning, everyone. Go ahead and grab a seat. We're deviating from Esther, which has been fascinating, but I'm excited, really excited to hear how this unpacks today for Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's the word of the Lord.
Well, hey, it's exciting to be with you folks today. We're just kind of blown away with this church that's just packed to the gills with people and young people, children, and it's just so exciting to see so much life going on. We're just pleased to be here today. My wife Gloria is up front in the front row here, and my one daughter Emily and her children, Malia and Ben, slipped in also. I thought my son Jonathan was going to be with us today and his wife Jaleesa, but he may not had a birthday party to go to right after the Edgewood church service, so they went to our home church of Edgewood up in Edmonds, and that's where they are this morning. And then we have another daughter, Anna, down in Olympia. But we're so glad to be with you folks today. As Gary said, I'm the Converge Northwest chaplain. Converge is a movement of churches working to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. We do this by starting and strengthening churches together worldwide. I don't know, some of you maybe have been around long enough to remember the title, the Columbia Baptist Conference. Anyone remember that? Probably not. Okay, well, we used to be the Columbia Baptist Conference. Anyone been out to Lake Retreat Bible Camp? Some Lake Retreat people. Okay. I used to go there when I was a boy, and that's part of our Converge Northwest organization. So we've been around a long time. Started out as the Swedish Baptist Conference back in the 1800s, but we've come a long ways since then. Well, I grew up in Ephrata. Anyone know where Ephrata is? Yeah, okay, good, good. We're connecting now, okay. I went to Seattle Pacific back when it was a college, and that dates me because it's been Seattle Pacific University for a long time now. But I was there in the early 70s and went back to Bethel Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And there I met my lovely bride, Gloria, and fell in love, and the rest is history. But we served churches in Detroit, Michigan, and then in rural Wisconsin. Finally, back in 2001, traveled back out to the West to be close to my parents. We were still living in Ephrata at the time. Settled in Shoreline, Washington, and I became the pastor of the Haller Lake Baptist Church, which I pastored for about 17 years. And the last 6 years, I have been retired from full-time ministry, but serving as the Converge Northwest chaplain in a variety of ways. And as my wife will tell you, I'm still fairly involved in ministry. So that's enough about myself. But let's pray. Father, we pray now that you'll take your word, speak to our hearts, and strengthen us, Lord, in our faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, something's still scratching here a little bit. Am I too close to whatever? Okay. Pull it out a bit then. Okay, there we are. Well, I ask a question today. Are you at peace? few years ago, Richard Russell, a ground crew employee for Horizon Air, stole a jet airplane at SeaTac Airport. Maybe you'll remember this from the news. He had never piloted a jet plane, but somehow he was able to taxi down the runway, take off into the blue. He flew past Tacoma. Meanwhile, jets from Portland were screaming up to intercept him, try to divert a disaster. Meanwhile, Russell was actually doing stunts in the air. And his flight, tragically, was a suicide mission, for he had no idea as to how to land the aircraft. This young man, only 29 years old, a husband and a son, communicated this message over the radio. "I'm just a broken guy, got a few screws loose, I guess." And soon after that, his plane crashed into a ball of flames. How tragic. How sad. This broken young man without inner peace. How many broken people do we encounter in our day-to-day lives? It might be a homeless person who's shivering out in the cold. It might be a colleague at work who looks perfectly put together, and yet who is really falling apart on the inside. It might be someone in your own family, or maybe yourself today. You feel broken, sad, unhappy, restless, agitated, dissatisfied with your life. Henry David Thoreau said, "People live lives of quiet desperation." Does it have to be that way? Paul, in the book of Philippians, assures us that inner peace is possible through Jesus Christ. Peace doesn't come in a bottle. Now, medications prescribed by a doctor might be helpful. I'm not against that. But ultimately, peace does not come in a bottle. Peace comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And so today we want to look at God's prescription for peace. We want to look at several admonitions here from our passage, which was read for us. And the first admonition is rejoice. Rejoice. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, "The cheerful heart is good medicine." Hey, there's nothing like a good belly laugh. If you want inner peace and well-being, then rejoice. Rejoice. Wait a minute, you say. Is it really that simple? This sounds like, hey, just put on a happy face. Cheer up. If you're sad, just snap out of it. Come on, get with it. Make yourself feel happy. What is that what Philippians 4:4 is saying? Notice it says, rejoice in what? Rejoice in the Seahawks? Seahawks just signed a new quarterback, Sam Darnold. I guess he's a pretty good guy. I don't know that much about him. I know he played for the Vikings last year, and we have lots of Vikings fans in our family after living in Wisconsin and such. But Cooper Kupp also coming to the Seahawks. Anyone know Cooper Kupp? He's an outstanding Christian athlete. I'm excited about that. I'll be happy if the Seahawks do well this year. But should I make my happiness dependent upon whether the Seahawks win or lose? Rejoice in what? Rejoice whether it's sunny or rainy or snowing. Guess you got a little snow out here last week or so, huh? On the pass, anyway. Well, I love a sunny day. Sun lifts my spirits, makes me feel good. But should I let the weather dictate my level of joy? Paul says, rejoice not in your circumstances, but rejoice in the Lord, okay? In the Lord, in Jesus, we always have cause to rejoice. Now consider that Paul wrote this when he was where? In prison in Rome. He was chained. He was incarcerated. His physical freedom had been stripped away. And yet Paul was spiritually free in Christ. He was at peace with God. Now Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. The book of Philippians is full of these words, joy and rejoice. Every passage has joy and rejoice. Well, at an earlier time, Paul and his missionary colleague Silas were in the city of Philippi, where Paul wrote the letter of to the Philippians, and they were in Philippi in earlier days, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 16. They had been stripped and flogged with whips. They had been beaten. They were bruised and bloody. They had been placed in an inner cell with their feet in stocks. And yet, what were they doing? They were praising God. It was midnight, and they were singing hymns of praise to God. All the people in the jail heard it. Rejoice in the Lord always, in every circumstance, at all times, Paul says. Habakkuk 3:17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen nor cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. When circumstances in your life turn sour and bleak, let's learn to praise the Lord and rejoice in him at all times. Let's thank him for his goodness and his faithfulness. In the end, this will lead us to peace of mind. Well, here's a second admonition for peace. Be reasonable. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Now, this Greek word translated reasonable in the ESV could be translated in any number of ways. Be gentle, be kind, be courteous, be moderate, be forbearing, considerate. The Don Harrell translation, chill out. Okay, just chill out. When I think of our political situation today, I think we could all just chill out a little bit. Tensions are running at an all-time high. And you look at the Congress, the Republicans, the Democrats, they won't even talk to each other. You know, there's no interaction between the two aisles. It's just tense and angry and fighting all the time. I was at a pastor's brown bag lunch this past week, and Pastor Keith Carpenter was telling us of the new Pilgrim's Coffee Shop that has opened up in Shoreline this past month. And this is connected unofficially with his church, the Epic Life Church, is that right? Yeah, Epic Life, Keith was telling us about how since they opened the coffee shop, there's been all kinds of negative criticism coming over the social media and just some really hateful kind of things, and he feels attacked personally. But people just think that the coffee shop is somehow connected to the church, and therefore, you know, these people are bigoted, they're haters, they're just terrible people. So that's the climate we live in here in the Pacific Northwest. And it's kind of an anti-Christian bias. And we feel this tension and such. And I think we need a strong dose of reasonableness. Reasonableness. In Paul's day, there were these two ladies in the Philippian church who really needed to hear this admonition. There in verses 2 and 3, I entreat Euodia and I entreat syntyche, to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Well, here were these two women, two godly women, servants in the church, faithful, dedicated to Christ. But whenever they got together, there was this personality clash, like cymbals clashing together, like butting heads. It was like, sandpaper rubbing against each other. And it was just a difference in personalities. And maybe you have someone in your life that kind of like that, you know, you just kind of clash all the time. Hopefully it's not your spouse. But Paul encouraged one of the church leaders, hey, see what you can do to help these dear saints to chill out, to chill out. Here's a reading called a prayer. Lord, thou knowest better than I know myself that I am growing older and I will someday be old. Keep me from getting talkative, and particularly from the fatal habit of thinking that I must say something on every subject and on every occasion. Release me from craving to try to straighten out everybody's affairs. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. I ask for grace enough to listen to the tales of others' pains. Help me to endure them with patience. But seal my lips on my own aches and pains. They are increasing, and my love of rehearsing them is becoming sweeter as the years go by. Teach me that the glorious truth that occasionally it is possible that I may be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. Some of them are so hard to live with, but a sour old person is one of those crowning works of the devil. Make me thoughtful without being moody, helpful but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all, but thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends in the end. Well, Paul admonishes us to be reasonably sweet. Then he reminds us the Lord is at hand. Now, I have my grandson Ben here in the front row with us today. Ben's 9 years old now, but about 5 years ago, when he was just a little tyke, Ben and some of the family were at the theater watching The Return of Mary Poppins. And there's an early scene in the movie there where Mary Poppins is floating down from the sky holding her umbrella as a parachute. And little Ben got all excited. He yelled out for all the theater to hear, "It's Jesus!" Yes, the Lord is coming again, isn't he? The Lord is at hand. And we need to remember that. The Lord is coming again. We sang about it, that someday, you know, we're going to, the Lord shall descend. And that's going to happen. And today, we need to be mindful of that all the time, that, hey, the Lord's coming again. And we want to be living in a way that pleases the Lord. Even today, even this moment, in another sense, the Lord is here. He's at hand, isn't he, with us? He hears everything we say. He sees everything we do. He knows what's in our heart, what's in our mind. The Lord is at hand. So let's live in a way that pleases him. Let's be gently reasonable. Well, here's the third admonition. Pray. Pray with faith and thanksgiving. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The NLT says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Why worry when you can pray? You've heard that old saying, maybe. Why worry when you can pray? Now, some of us like to twist that around. Why pray when you can worry? You know, why pray when you can fret and stew and stress out over things? Why pray? Well, let me say that prayer is the antidote to worry. A prominent physician addressed the Medical Association of British, the British Medical Association, said the best medicine I've discovered is prayer. As one whose whole life has been concerned with the sufferings of the mind, I would state that of all hygienic measures to counteract disturbed sleep, depression of spirit, a depressed mind, I would undoubtedly give first place to the simple habit of prayer. It does more to quiet the spirit and strengthen the soul than any other therapeutic agency known to man. Well, let's note how we are to pray. We're to pray with prayer and supplication or petition, and we're to present our requests to God. We are to not be shy about asking God for things. We're to be very specific in our request, and that requires faith, doesn't it? Faith to believe that God does hear and God will answer. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:14, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. John 16:24, until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Let's petition our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, trusting that he will hear and he will answer. Pray with thanksgiving, it says, thanking God for all he's done for us in the past, thanking God for all he's going to do, thanking God for how he's going to answer this specific prayer. We may not know just how God is going to answer or just when he's going to answer, but we can pray thanking him in advance for how he's going to answer our prayer. And then verse 7, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Like a sentry keeping guard over a city on the wall, so the peace of God will watch over our lives. God's peace surpasses understanding. We can't explain it, we can't comprehend it, but we can experience God's inner peace, his wonderful peace, and we can trust God in every circumstance of life. Verse 19 says, and my God will meet every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let's simply take God at his word and trust that God will provide our needs in abundant ways. Maybe you're worried today about your financial situation. Maybe you're worried about your job. I was talking with a woman a week ago at a birthday party, and she works for the federal government, downtown Seattle, with Medicare, Medicaid, and so on. She's been at it for 13 years, but she's worried. She's worried if she's going to have a job. And her son or her husband also works for the federal government, and she's just worried about what does the future hold for us. Maybe you're worried about your health, or maybe you're worried about the well-being of your family. According to all the riches of heaven, God will meet you at your point of need. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? That God will meet you at your point of need. You will find peace as you pray with faith and thanksgiving. And that brings us to a fourth admonition for peace. Think. Think about the good things of God. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think. Meditate upon. Dwell upon these things. We are what we feed our minds. CNN reported on a cattle ranch in Australia where beef cattle are fed the regular diet of hay and grain and so on. But during the last couple of months of their lives before they're slaughtered, they are also fed huge amounts of sweets, Cadbury chocolate, cookies, candy, apple pie, okay? Whatever they feed them, but huge amounts of sweets. And this produces a distinctive sweet taste to the meat. This Wagyu beef can cost up to $300 a pound. And this last Christmas, just so happened that my brother and sister-in-law down in Texas sent us a lovely box of smoked meats. And in that box was a packet of Wagyu beef jerky. Very sweet and very spicy. Well, we are what we eat, aren't we? And that goes for what we feed our minds. They say garbage in, garbage out. Much of our culture feeds us spiritual junk food. Whether it's from the TV or the internet or the radio, the movies or the magazine rack, internet, spiritual junk food. That's not always true. Much that we can find, if we look for it, in art, in music, in literature, and so on, even TV and so on, there's much that can be helpful, raise our appreciation for God's good creation, help us think about things that are pure and lovely and so on, positive things from God. You folks live with a magnificent view of Mount Si, a little bit hard to see it today, but when I was at Seattle Pacific, I remember a day when our men's dorm floor got together with a women's dorm floor, and we had a whole day to come out and hike up Mount Si. I think it was in the fall. And it was a wonderful day, glorious day. I don't know what I was most excited about, whether it was climbing the mountain or meeting girls, okay? But we had a beautiful day, and we just enjoyed God's good creation. And there's so much all around us that we can enjoy if we open our eyes and if we open our hearts to just taking in the good things of God. So let's think about the good things. Let's start with our Bibles and dig into God's Word, God's holy Word, and just ask God to speak to our hearts. W.T. Wright tells about a friend who, as a young teenager, went home and announced to his mother that he had become a Christian. And she was alarmed. She thought that he had joined some kind of cult. And she said, "They've brainwashed you." Well, he had an answer for that. "Mom, if you'd seen what was in my brain, you'd realize it needed washing." Well, Wright says, of course, he hadn't been brainwashed. If anything, it's our culture that brainwashes us. What the gospel does is to administer a sharp jolt, to shine a bright light, to kickstart the brain and the moral sensibility into working properly for the first time to find peace. Keep your mind dwelling upon, fixed upon, the good things of God. As was read, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you, Isaiah 26:3. Well, this brings us to a final admonition. Act upon the good things of God. Do all that God shows you to do. Verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I like the old King James here. Practice these things. It simply says, do. Like the Nike commercial. Just do it. Just do it. Paul had brought the gospel to Philippi carefully through his words, his teaching, as well as through his lifestyle. He showed the people how to live as Christ followers. Now he says, everything I have taught you and modeled for you, do it. Just do it. Don't just think about it, sing about it, dream about it. Do it. Go out and do it. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We need to act upon all that God shows us to do. And that's something we can't do. Not in our own strength, okay? To live like Christ isn't just a matter of, you know, gritting our teeth and trying hard enough. We need God's help, God's strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Through Christ, we can do all that God is commanding us and calling us to do. The Christian life is not hard, it's impossible in our own effort. But with God, all things are possible. We can overcome temptation. We can handle difficult situations. We can deal with annoying people. We can live like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we hear this again. You have what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the beautiful promise, and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that great? The God of peace himself will be with you. So I ask this morning, are you at peace? Or are you like Richard Russell, just a broken guy, a broken gal, with a few screws loose? How can we find peace? Well, first of all, peace begins with being at peace with God. At peace with God. When we put our faith in Christ and ask Christ to be our Lord and Savior, we are made at peace with God. We are reconciled to God. We are declared righteous in God's sight. We are no longer at war with God. We are at peace. And once we are at peace with God, then we can start to experience the peace of God. The peace of God. We can experience the inner peace that passes all understanding. So we've seen five admonitions today. Take these admonitions to heart. Apply them to your life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be reasonable. Be gently, sweetly reasonable. Pray with faith and thanksgiving. Think about the good things of God. And then finally, do. Do all that God shows you to do through his strength. Through his strength, God's prescription for peace. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you'll help us to follow this prescription. Lord, many of us today are coming with needs and burdens on our hearts, deep concerns, problems in our lives. We need your help, Lord. We need your help. We need your strength. Help us not to despair. Help us to know that you are with us. Help us to seek you. And Lord, will you help us to experience your wonderful, wonderful peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.